Well, good morning, everyone. So nice to see all of you. It's especially nice this Sunday because I'm actually quarantined in my house by myself. So just an abundance of caution because I had to visit the ER for my grandma who recently passed away.
Sorry to hear that.
So, yeah, thank you. So that's why I'm here by myself, and I've been waiting all week just to talk to people and see someone and see your faces. So even if it's a picture, a live picture, and video, even better. So glad to see all of you. Can we just start with a word of prayer today? We'll just praise the Lord. Father, we want to give all glory to you, that we have the opportunity to gather as your people, as your church, to worship you. Remind us that this is not a academic exercise, but it is actually an exercise of lifting our praises and our worship to you, that as we study your word, we are giving honor to what you have said. We are giving glory to what you have done for the Israelites and for us in our lives. So we lift our hands this morning, our open hands, and we give you our praises by coming to your temple and by sacrificing our lives and our time before you. We thank you for what you have given us, our church and our family. We are grateful, and we pray all this in your precious name. Amen. All right. So if you saw my email during the week, I asked a question. Do you guys remember what that question was?
Yes, it was about listening.
Yes, about listening. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, listening or hearing. I asked, how do we hear God? You guys did see that, kind of thought about it, didn't have to study it, just think about it. Did you guys have a answer or kind of an idea? Go like this if you do. Maybe? Yeah? Okay. If you do, can we break out into the rooms right now and share your ideas with two or three of your brothers and sisters. Daniel, can you break us up and let's kind of talk about what you thought of. There's no right answer, just what you thought of. How do believers hear God? In your own experience and what you read from the Bible, just kind of discuss that amongst the group, and then we'll come back again, and then we're really going into the word and see what Deuteronomy says about this. All right, welcome back, everyone. Did you guys have a discussion, and did you have any thoughts? Anyone willing to share what you guys talked about in the group? How do you hear God? How do believers hear God?
Okay, well, our group, we talk about when we have our quiet time, our devotional time,
right?
When we study the Bible, when we pray, and when we on Sundays when we hear sermons, you know,
right.
It's like God is talking to us through the pastor.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what we talked about as well. That we hear through people, and God speaks to them, and then we hear from them. Any other ways?
Yes, we also talked about ways like through prayers and Bible readings, and friends and family and even nature. And we talked about being going through hard times, through suffering, we hear God more, and also through blessings too.
Yeah, that's good.
Hear God. Yeah.
So yeah, that's through events, through suffering, through blessing.
Yes,
we hear God speaking
through bad times.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
even, it's not just bad times we hear about God. We want to hear about God. We also praise God in good times.
Oh yeah, we want God's blessings too, and we want to experience those times as well. And He's definitely speaking to His goodness during that time. And of course, in this pandemic, it's considered a bad time. But like you said, He is also speaking to us.
Yes,
that's great.
And I also share something.
Sure.
I heard this. I also shared this maybe in the Thursday night prayer group. And Mother Teresa was interviewed by Dan Rather, the Dan Rather, the news anchor.
Yeah.
Many years ago, and Dan Rather asked, "Oh, what do you do? What do you pray about when you then Mother Teresa says, "Oh, she mainly listens to God."
Oh,
and
that's
Dan
good.
Rather was quite quite inquisitive, and he said, "Oh, then if she listens to God, God must be telling her something." So he asked her, "Then what does God say?" Uh-huh. Then Mother Teresa said, "He doesn't say anything. He listens to me. He also listens."
Oh, wow. This, Jana, you read my notes. You actually read Deuteronomy. That's good. That's really good. We'll get there. Do you guys have any thoughts about that? I thought that was a great example. Thank you, Janet, for sharing. That God listens to us and we listen to God. It's the two-way kind of relationship. That's beautiful. Now, if you look at the, you can see my PowerPoint today, right? It says the Shema, right? That's a Hebrew word that means to listen. And that's what we're going to talk about today, to hear, to listen. Have you guys ever tried when you're concentrating, you know, or when something that's just so, it's bothering you so much and you just had to think, you kind of put your hand over your face. Or when you're stressed about something, you go like this. And I do this all the time. You kind of rub your face. Do you guys do that? Right? And you kind of close your eyes and with your hands. And that's actually what these ladies are doing in the Jewish synagogue. That the Shema, when they read God's word, especially this passage, Deuteronomy 6, we'll get there. They have to. It's so intense. It's so important that they have to cover their eyes with their right hand. That's how intense it is. They still do it. Now, whether or not it is intense for them, that's beside the point. But the fact of the matter is that the Jewish people throughout the ages regard this so highly that they, in this prayer only, they cover their face. Because they need to focus. They need to hear from God. And we're going to investigate. We're going to investigate why. Why this is, the Shema is considered the most essential prayer by traditionally observant Jews. Why this is the most essential prayer. We're going to look at, and again, Pastor Alex probably showed this to you already. Here is the location of the speech, right? It's good to kind of orient ourselves. Right before they enter into the land of Canaan, which is divided really by the River Jordan. So they're right here, okay? Take a look at this map, and we're going to refer to it later. This area right here is going to be very important. From here all the way to Succoth and Penuel, okay, this whole area. But here's where Moses is on a high point, telling them this prayer, this telling the Israelites to hear. And this is what he says in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Can someone read that for us?
Frank, okay, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9.
Yes.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall all bind them as a sign on your hand, they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Thank you. So this is the prayer that the Jews regard as the most important prayer. So important, they pray this every day. Once in the morning, once at night. It's so important. If they miss any other prayer, they must pray this prayer. So this is something, obviously, of utmost importance. And Moses, when he's speaking to them, right before they take the go into the land of Canaan, he's at this point, he says, you know, in Deuteronomy, he's kind of repeating all the laws. Here's all your failures from Egypt in the wilderness for 40 years. And here's what God did. You disobeyed God. God saved you. You disobeyed God. God saved you again. And he's repeating all their history up until this point. So the backdrop is now the first generation has died. You are the new generation that I am going to work through. This is going to be the new norm before you enter. And how you end this journey today is how you're going to enter into the new land. So he says, hear, Shema. This is of utmost importance. And why is the Shema prayer? They call this the Shema prayer so important. Well, let's look at the word, right? Shema, it says to hear and to listen. And get this, it's not just to hear, but also to obey. I didn't know that. That's why it's so important. The Hebrew word doesn't have the word obey. You have obey all throughout Genesis until now. And I was shocked to know that the Hebrew language doesn't have a word called obey. It is rolled into one with the hear, with the Shema. So we see some examples in Genesis. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Genesis 27:8. This is actually Rebecca telling Jacob to get the goat ready, cook it for his dad, steal your brother's a blessing, right? So he says, obey. What is that word? That was the Shema. Obey me. Not only hear me, but obey. And then Exodus 5:2. And Pharaoh said, who is this Lord? Right when Moses approached him, that I should Shema his voice and let Israel go. I hear him, but who am I to obey him? Who is he that I should obey him? I don't know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Bad decision, but we know the story. Proverbs 20:12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made or ordained them both. The Shemaing ear. The Shemaing ear, the ear that listens and the ear that obeys. And that's what the word Shema is. It's quite fascinating. So why? Again, this is another question. Why is listening considered by Jews the foundation of the closeness to God? This goes back to what Janet shared with us. they consider what they consider this the most important prayer. Not only that, but they consider Shema the foundation of the closeness with God. So given what we know about the word Shema and these examples, why would this be the foundation? Why is this so important? I mean, they're not taking this lightly. And Moses certainly is not, because he's commanding this right before they enter into the land of Canaan. Any thoughts, any response to that? What happens? What happens when we hear or Shema God? How does this determine our closeness?
What he acknowledges. We're being acknowledged.
We're being acknowledged, yeah. And we're acknowledging God, right? So when we are acknowledging God and God is acknowledging us, there is a closeness. That's why there's a, and when there's no acknowledgement on either side, you can't say that you're close to God. There's an acknowledgement, yes. Why would Mother Teresa say, oh, I don't, you know, listening to God was so important? Of all the answers she gave, why would she say listening?
Because he's a living God, and we can get guidance and instructions for every single facet of our life.
Yeah. If we don't hear from God, we don't know what to do. In fact, we would do something that's opposite from God, something that's not close to God, not aligned with God. Listening, if we don't hear from God, we can't obey him either. Right? And it's both. It's two in one. And that's why they said, hey, if I don't, the Israelites are saying, if I don't Shema God, I'm not close to God. I can't. It's impossible. I don't know what to do. And Moses is telling them, pay attention, hear, O Israel. You have to hear before you go in. Don't make the same mistakes. It's so important. You must Shema God. The voice of God is everything to the instruction manual, to this revelation, to everything before you enter into the land. Without it, you will again die like the first generation in battle, especially when you're in battle, right? Now, did you know, and Janice shared with us, did you know that the Lord Shema's us as well, right? Why is this so important as the foundation of closeness with God? Not only we hear God, but God hears us. Even more important, it Shema's us. Check these verses out. Genesis 29:33, that then Leah conceived again and bore a son. Now Leah was barren. She was unloved. Because the Lord has heard, what's that word? Shema. Has heard that I am unloved. He has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Shim'on, from the root word Shema. Isn't that interesting? So Simeon is a play on word for Shema, because the Lord heard Leah's prayer. And did the Lord just ignore her? No, the Lord did something about it. He acted on it. I don't know how you guys are feeling, even when I say this, for the Lord to not only hear, but act. That's what the Lord wants us to, how he wants us to respond. But he himself responds this way too. And then Genesis 30:22, then God remembered Rachel, which is Leah's sister. Rachel was barren. She was loved by Jacob, but Rachel was barren. And God listened to her, shamed her, and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son. That son ultimately was Joseph. So when they cried out, God heard and did something. In Exodus 2:24, so God heard their groaning when they're in Egypt. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And therefore, God sent Moses. So when we groan, God not only hears us, but he does something. He responds to us. This had me thinking, you know, many times we are taught, and we rightfully so, that God is sovereign. Whatever he says goes. And that's always true. And we need to understand his sovereignty, because we don't understand why certain things happen to us. But when I come to these verses here in Shema, there's another side to the coin, that God wants his people to cry out to him, because he wants to exercise the listening and responding for you as you pray, as you cry out to him. So he's setting before them, Moses is setting before them this type of relationship. It's a two-way active relationship. You commit to me and I commit to you. You guys see that? You guys have any thoughts? Janet, did you want to share something?
No, I'm just thinking God is not just listening. He's waiting for us too. He's
yes.
Waiting for us, and he wants to listen to us.
That's yes.
Yeah.
When you say he's waiting, is it because he's waiting for us? Yeah.
Because sometimes we don't go to him.
And right.
Those are the times he's waiting for us to go to him.
Yeah. It's an invitation. Hear, O Israel. Right? This is what Moses is saying. Come to me. God is saying, come to me. I want to hear you. It's not just you hear me, do what I say, and that's it. It's a two-way. I will shema you. You will shema me. Hear. Listen and do, and we will, this covenant is it's a two-way covenant. However, I will be the stronghold. I will be the strength of this covenant to make sure this covenant stays intact. But let's have this two-way dialogue. So, from here, this Shema, Moses drives the point home, and he says, "O Israel," right? We're still in the first two words of the prayer, right? Hear, listen, do what I say, listen and do it and obey it, and I will listen to you, and I will perform a miracle for you. O Israel, remember that map that I was telling you about earlier? This is where Moses was, around here, giving this Shema this prayer of Shema, this charge for the Israelites, 400 years back, Jacob was in a very similar area by the river Jabbok. And that's where he wrestled with who? With God, right? Some say Jesus. He wrestled with God. And what happened when he wrestled with God over there? You guys remember?
Didn't he pull his hamstring muscle or something?
Yeah, he didn't stretch. He didn't stretch before he wrestled. You got to stretch when you do these exercises, when you start wrestling with God. Yeah, God did something. God dislocated his hip, so to speak, right? Injured him. And what happened? What happened when he wouldn't let go, right? He says, "Give me a blessing." And then what did God do that was very significant in Jacob's life?
Is it he gave Jacob a vision of the heaven?
Yes, that's actually prior. That was a first incident that he was there. But if you look at Genesis 32:28, he changed his name. You guys remember that? You see my mouse down here? I know it's in the bottom of the screen. Do you guys remember that he changed his name to what?
Calling him Israel now.
Calling him Israel, right. Mm-hmm. This is what we know as Israel happened at that time. It was a huge matter. He changed his name to Israel, and today Israel is the nation. It is because of that incident. Israel is called Israel. But for us Gentiles, we don't understand when we read or say the word Israel. Oh, yeah, it's just the name. But when for Moses, when he says, "Shema, O Israel," every Israelite knows he's referring back to Jacob, the promise that God made to Jacob when Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And what does Israel mean? You see right here, Israel, I kind of broke it down. Israel is a play on word for Sarah El Elohim. It's kind of a hybrid word, condensed phrase of the word Sarah Elohim. Sarah is struggle. Elohim is God. Struggled with God. So Israel, Sarah Elohim, you see this resemblance there? You hear the resemblance? Yes, Israel. So God says, "Jacob, your name is Sarai Elohim now. You struggled with God. So, Israel." And when Moses says, "Shema, O Israel," what is he saying? He says, "Shema, you God wrestlers." That's what they're thinking, even though they hear Israel, the name. But in their mind, because of the culture and because of the history, immediately they're saying, "Shema, you God wrestlers, you people who struggle with God, you have a relationship with me that is of struggle, confrontation, question, constant dialogue. It's an active relationship, not a passive one. Shema, O Israel, you who always struggle with me." Yes, doesn't sound like a typical Sunday school type of Christianity. So my question is this the type of relationship with God we expect? Why or why not? Is that the type of relationship that I know for the sake of time, I know some of you guys like breakout rooms, but you know, we can feel free to share together. is this comforting? Is this concerning? That this is the type of relationship that as Moses was telling the Israelites, Shema, you God wrestlers.
I think that's reality.
Really? Yeah, that's reality. Does this? That's very good. And when it is reality, does that bring some type of relief or comfort to us, knowing that it's okay to struggle with God?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that as human beings, we do struggle because we crave some kind of control over our own lives.
Yes.
But because we have that, and then at the same time, we know we should relent to God and, you know, let Him command our life. That is a constant struggle.
Yeah.
To not live our own life and to let God be God, right? That's
mm-hmm.
a constant struggle, but it does give a sense of relief that even though Israel struggled with God, even though Jacob, the way he is, I mean, he stole.
You're on mute now.
This is not a guy with like the greatest character. Yeah. How many wives did he have?
And
favoritism among his kids. I mean, he loved only what, Joseph and Benjamin. But still, God blessed him. You know, he is the beginning of a whole nation of Israel. And the whole nation is named after him. It's bizarre.
But it is bizarre. Yeah,
it's great. That means that we're not lost case. Even though we struggle and we sin and we fall short in so many ways, God can most certainly bless us and bless through us.
Amen. And that's what Moses is saying. That's what the Shema is so important. And it actually puts our focus back to God. He's the one who upholds the covenant. He's the one who provides. He's the one who's going to bless you and protect you. Not because of what we've done. In fact, God embedded it that in their name. Is that you will always struggle with me. You do struggle, but that's okay. Come to me, though. Listen to me. Come to me as you struggle in this time, because you are human. You cannot fulfill all the laws. I know Pastor Alex mentioned all the laws, some of it, not all of them, because there's 600 laws. There's no way you can carry that burden, right? It's a losing battle. The focus is back to God, and which is why Moses is saying, come back to me. Focus on me. Thank you, Lily. That was great. So, in regards to that, listen, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. It comes back to God. Doesn't matter what you do, I'm the one who's in control, not you. You try to control everything. You try to do good. But it is I who uphold you. The Lord, Yahovah, right, our God. And I wanted to explain this word, Yahovah, but because this video does a way better job, that I'm going to have you guys listen to it, okay? It's so good. Take some notes, okay? Do you guys like that? So it's actually not Jehovah, because every time they see that, word, it's supposed to drive them to say Adonai, not to say the word out loud. And I'm trying to boot up my computer. It's really slow these days. Sorry, guys. Was there anything else that was interesting in there that you guys saw? As we boot up here.
A number of kind of related and overlapping words, but a little bit different, right? Yahweh, Yahuwah, Adonai. Kind of hard to keep track of all of their similar words, but all slightly different. More semantics or actually they made different meanings.
So, right.
Something to think about.
Yeah, but the main point is that they took God's word, the word Lord is so important to them that they can't even pronounce it, right? It's the heart behind it that they, the Lord is so holy and so sovereign that we can't even pronounce his word, his name, and they put a reminder in them, in these Jewish words in the Hebrew, to remind themselves to never say it. Never say Yahweh, but say Adonai instead. I thought that was very interesting. Apparently, this thing is not booting up. That's okay. We have... Oh, here it is. Okay. You guys see the screen now? Kind of?
Not yet.
Yes. Not yet? Okay.
I was thinking then, why can't they correct it now if they know it's supposed to be Adonai and not?
Right. Yeah, they could, but that's the Christian authors or translators, right? This is how they translate it. So it's always Jehovah. I don't know what is in your Bible, but it should be capital Lord. That's how we as Christians denote God's name. But in some Bibles, and I have one and I read it all the time, it actually writes YHWH in the original text, which is, when I see that, I can't really pronounce it, right? So it's the Yahweh or Adonai. So it's actually not, Lord is actually the category. He is a God. He is the God. But the name, God's personal name, is actually YHWH. It's very personal. So when he says, when Moses says, hear, Shema, O Israel, Yahweh, our God, it's very personal. It's not just God, the category, but here's his name. It's denoted.
Can I ask something real quick, Frank?
Yeah.
This is a really interesting and good study here. So I think since this is the first time, I think many of us are learning this. So just try to keep track to make it easier for us to keep track. YHWH, that's the English letter corresponding to the Hebrew letters, okay? Right. And so that's why it sounds the same. It would be Yahovah, right? Or Yahweh,
okay? Yeah.
And that's the Hebrew way of pronouncing it. And so Yahweh, Yehovah, that's where the Jehovah, the English or Latinized, right, transliteration of that word, okay? This, remember, came
German. From... It was a Germans who added a J. German theologians added the J.
This, when Moses asked God in the burning bush, right? Because God said, take my people out of Egypt. And Moses said, well, who should I tell them is the God who is telling them this, remember? And God gave him his name, and he says, Yahweh send you.
Mm.
And that word, Yahweh, YHWH, in Hebrew, that is a word that could very much sound like what? I am. Okay, so God is saying that's my name is I am. I am the God who is. Okay, and so that's a unique thing. I think Frank, I don't know if Frank probably will go over that. But so what Frank was saying is the Jews over time, in their tradition, out of their reverence and respect, they decided not to pronounce this name. They said, this is the name of God. We are mere mortals. We dare not even utter the word of name of God. And so every time they read their scripture, they come across Yahweh, they will say Adonai. They replace it. They just read it something else. That's it. Okay? So they think that that's showing reverence. Okay, so that's a word that's never touched. Now, Adonai simply means Lord or Master. But in order to distinguish a human Lord or Master to the name of God, in many of the English Bibles, it's this. It's the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Does that make sense? And then in the New Testament, of course, we don't have this. In the New Testament, the word Lord is Kyrios. And then so Jesus as Lord is Jesus Kyrios, right? So that's the we're in the Hebrew Old Testament, so that's where we're looking at the word Yahweh. And of course, this word is quoted in the New Testament. Okay. So I think that helps us understand who God is and the name of God, and why is it that it's so important that I think Frank is he's leading us into an adoration and admiration, right, and reverence to who is this God that we approach when we pray to him, speak to him, when he speaks to us. Okay, I hope that helps us track the difference in the name and the usage.
Yeah, it does. I hope I helped you guys to kind of get a grasp of the name of God. Exactly, you know, this YHWH, it really is the reverence. The point behind it is to show the reverence that the Israelites, the Jews, displayed before God, that they won't even say his name. His name is YHWH, Yahweh, I am who I am. And this is the actual word that is used in the Shema. Shema, O Israel, the Lord, our God. Right? The Yahweh, our God. His name, he's revealed his name to us. We are in a very close relationship in this covenant together. And the second phrase following that is the Lord, or Yahovah, or Yahweh. The Lord is one. The Lord is one. And I remember Pastor Alex asking, why is Moses at this point kind of recalling all the laws and the commandments before they enter the land of Canaan? It's one of the answers can be found here. He's saying, he's reminding the Israelites, the Lord is one. He's your, Adonai is your only source. He's the focus. He's the help. He's the one who fights for Israel. Those of you who struggle, he's the one who keeps his covenant for you. And he's reminding Israelite, this is the main thought. He's reminding Israelite in Moses that Moses, you are not the source. You've worshipped Israel. You've worshipped Moses for too long, the man. You've seen him part the Red Sea, get the water, bring, you know, meet God and have all these experiences with God. But he is not the one. He is not even entering the land. But it is Adonai who enters with them. Listen and obey Yahweh or Adonai. So Moses is reminding himself and the people of Israel that it is God. Do not look at me anymore, because I'm not going to enter. I'm going to die here. But you guys will go. But remember that he's the source. Adonai is one. He's your only one. So as I, this is in Hebrew, this is the first part of the Shema, right? Shema Israel, Adonai, this is how the Jews will read it. Adonai, which is Yahweh, Eloheinu, which is our God. Adonai Yehad, which is God, the Lord is one. And I found this, I practiced this, and we're going to do it together, okay, to kind of help us remember this Shema. So this this Jewish rabbi who was deaf really understood this by his sign language, and it will help us understand, because he says, Shema, hear, O Israel. But he's deaf, right? He can't hear. It doesn't make sense to him. And in fact, Shema, the word, as we, you know, we studied earlier, it's not really listen either. It is to listen and obey. So how do you convey that in sign language? And he said, he went like this. This is Shema. Focus. Listen. Obey. Shema. Shema. And I thought that was really good. This is how they would do the sign language. This is not like this. Not Shema God, because you want God to Shema you, focus on you when you pray out, cry out to him. And Moses saying, focus on the Lord, Shema. And Israel, this is what they do for Israel, because the word Shem, it looks like a W, right? So they go like this, Shema, O Israel. But it's, this is Israel, the nation. But Moses is addressing the people of Israel. So they would go, Shema, O Israel. The people gathering. Is that cool? Shema, O Israel. Adonai. Like this. You guys do that? Adonai? Like you're adoring God, right? Adonai. Eloheinu. So the Lord, our God. Well, this is already the Lord. How do they say our God? Our God. He's personal. He's right by my heart. This is, they would do this. And then Adonai. Again, Ihad. You got to have the, little phlegm, Ihad. That's one. So Israel is reminding, Moses is reminding them, out of everyone, there's one. So out of many things that you believed in before, there's only one. So you guys want to do this with me? This is our prayer to God this morning, okay? Shema. Shema, O Israel. Yeah, coming together. Adonai. Eloheinu. Our God. Adonai. The Lord, out of many, is only one. This is our only source. Is that cool? Let's do it again. Shema, O Israel. Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, he is one. You guys like that? That's so cool. I love it. I love it because it really helps me understand this whole, especially the Shema, we focus on God. And that's what Moses was talking about. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
All right. Did you guys have any thoughts about this? Anything that stood out to you today? Feel free to share.
I'm just wondering, they only used the right hand, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They in all of this, they always use the right hand. Because the right hand is always, it signifies righteousness and holiness. Yeah.
I think it's good. It's really good to be reminded to listen to God. I feel like sometimes, especially when you bump up against the world and they don't understand who God is, and they tell you that, you know, that church is too much, and that that you need to like focus on, like, you need to know your priorities. But then, you know, we have to keep listening to God and following his leading, even though sometimes it may not make sense to the world, and to know that he has never failed when we listen to him. Like, he's always provided.
Yeah.
Like, I think I've been hearing, like, oh, you know, church doesn't provide you a home, doesn't provide you food. I mean, it's true. It's not church who provides those things, but it's God, and we have his promise that if we pursue his kingdom and his righteousness first, seek those things first, that all the things that, like, clothing, food, housing, shelter, they will be added to us.
Amen. And Lucy, thank you for sharing that. That's so true. It reminds us, and that's what Moses was reminding the Israelites, is that God is our source. And as you enter this land, as you enter this life, these struggles, that he's our only source. Always go back to him. He's the hand that will hold our every need and supply every need. And when you mentioned that, Lucy, it reminds me, this thought comes to mind, is that when it comes to praise songs, I've evolved as well. It's almost more comforting to praise God, right? It sounds weird, but instead of songs that are just about, oh Lord, I need your help, but actually when we praise God, when we lift his name on high, that's the most comforting, because he's the one who can actually do it. When we praise the name Yehovah or Yahweh, Adonai, it reminds us that he saves us. He can help us.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
Hey, can you lead us in learning to read this beginning of this prayer in Hebrew?
So we can
all, like, learn Hebrew on this Shema prayer.
Yeah, this is Hebrew right here. This is their. You're saying, say it again.
Yeah, you read it, and then we all read it together with you.
Oh yeah, sure. Let's do that. Okay. Shema.
Shema.
You guys just open your mics. We'll just say it together as our prayer today. Good idea, Pastor James. Shema.
Shema.
Israel.
Israel.
Adonai.
Adonai.
Elohino.
Elohino.
Adonai.
Adonai.
God. Let's do it again, okay? Let's do it the way they do it, where we focus, close our eyes, okay? And you guys just listen to me, and we praise God with this. Shema.
Shema.
Israel.
Israel.
Adonai.
Adonai.
Ohino.
Ohino.
Adonai.
Adonai.
God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 All right. That's the Shema. So, of course, there's more to this, but, you know, we'll go to the next verse next week and see how Pastor Alex will bring us to that understanding of the rest of the Shema. Hope you guys enjoyed it. It's so good to see all of you. We have a little time to prepare before we go into service and listen to Pastor Alex.